Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're coming to you from the Quicken Loan Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Mavi, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Paul Mary with a go-ahead goal for the Devils in L.A., 3-2 New Jersey. And PharrellOnTheBench.com is rocking the holidays with tons of picks. I hit Tennessee tonight and laid the points. Double cover, Army-Navy Saturday, Sunday night, Rams, Bears. Great games to get in on. PharrellOnTheBench.com has all the picks and all the bowl games. Money lines and spreads are already posted. PharrellOnTheBench.com, every pick, every day, every sport. Just go sign up. You'll love it. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Also, episode 88 tomorrow, Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on Westwood One. You can get it at westwoodonepodcast.com, iTunes, or Google Play every day, Tuesday through Sunday. It's a half-hour sports betting show covering the day's action every day. I think you're going to dig it. Subscribe free to Pharrell on the Bets and follow us on Twitter at onthebetswwo. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. I've been reading this story about this kid that's going to go to Duke. Vernon Carey Jr. announced his decision to play for Coach K at Duke next year. Their class is already ranked sixth. That just seems absurd to me, right? Like, how is that guy not number one or two or three every year, right? Like, Duke, like, are you going to tell me, what is this year's class? Sixth? With this Zion Williamson and Barrett and Reddish and Jones. How about number one? I mean, are you kidding me? Sixth? Vernon Carey Jr., you know, his dad played at Miami and for the Dolphins, signed all kinds of contracts, made all kinds of money. His mom, they had the kid when they were really young. When he was going to Miami, like he was like, I think a freshman in Miami playing for the Canes. And like he was playing with like Frank Gore and them. He had a kid. So he was a freshman in college and he was having a baby. It certainly changed his life. And but then again, here you go all these years later and he's going to be going to Duke. He had, I guess it came down to Michigan State, North Carolina, and he chose Duke. And he flat out said it was basically a business decision. And there you go.
Isn't it always?
Yeah, you know, they all just, they know what's up. He wants to go there, play one season, go pro, make tons of money. It's simple.
Business decision.
He was torn between Duke and Michigan State. And then, there you go, he chose Duke. So, you watch that team. Last night I watched them play Hartford, a brutal schedule they got with that, Hartford game they just got through barely, winning by 30. But they got their own TV show, right? They got the that little ESPN Plus show they've been doing. And then the Brotherhood now. They call it the Brotherhood at Duke. There's no longer, I'm going to Duke, I'm going to the Brotherhood. I'm going to join the Brotherhood at Duke. It's like a club med for basketball players.
I don't got a problem with them throwing in a couple games against Hartford. And, I mean, let's be fair. They've played Kentucky. They've played Gonzaga. They've played Auburn. They're going to play Texas Tech next week. And then they get into the ACC, which is
what
really
were some
tough.
What were some of their small games?
They've played Army, Eastern Michigan, San Diego State. I don't know if you want to call that small or call that. I wouldn't either.
I'll give you that.
They played Indiana, too. Stetson, who they beat 113-49.
Stetson Cologne. Now 4-2 doubles. They're filling it up at Staples.
And Hartford. And they still have games to go against Yale and Princeton.
So this other kid that they're talking about now, the number one kid that everybody's after now is Anthony Edwards out of Atlanta. Is that about right? I think this kid, I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go. Everybody's after him. La-di-da. He's a star, they're saying. Best scorers in the country. Physical, those 6'5", 215. That's your size, Mafia. Strong frame, long arms. One of the most explosive athletes in America. That's Mafia I'm talking about, not the kid that they're going to recruit at every school in the country. I'd put his athleticism up against almost anyone's. His ceiling is just ridiculous. Now, as for the kid, Edwards, they're talking about Mafia still there. As far as the kid, no one cares at all. They're still talking about Mafia. There you go. One of the top recruiters is a guy, blah, 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 blah.
Mafia.
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 In 9 years at Kentucky, Calipari has coached 10 guards who've been picked in the first round. John Wall, De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray, Brandon Knight, Malik Monk, Gilgeous Alexander, Devin Booker, Eric Bledsoe, Marquise Teague, R.G. Goodwin, plus top overall pick Derrick Rose and Tyreek Evans when he was at Memphis. If Kentucky could somehow get Edwards away from the Seminoles and Bulldogs, I guess he's up for gigs there. But he hasn't signed a top five player in the last 3 years. The Wildcats have two top 10 guys already in the fold for next year. Combo guard Tyrese Maxey and wing Khalil Whitney. And they also have number 5 overall, Jaden McDaniels, 6'10 wing. Number 7, Matthew Hurt, 6'9, stretch 4. They're all coming around Lexington a lot. It's amazing to me that I even had to look at it and hear this story about this kid, Carey, that he's with Duke. They're the 6th right now ranked class for 2019. In a month or two, they'll be number 1 when they get the rest of the players that are going to go there. Anyway, so I like watching to see where these kids are going or who the best players are and where they play their ball and everything else. So Anderson, this guy, Anthony Edwards, anyway, I want to see where he ends up going. It sounds like he's got several offers, obviously, to go anywhere he wants. So Edwards already trimmed his list to Duke, Florida State, Georgia, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State, North Carolina, and UCLA. So every school that matters in college basketball, sans Florida State and Georgia, I'm just saying, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State, North Carolina, and UCLA. Do you feel that UCLA still matters in terms of college basketball's elite with Steve Alford? Do you think that they matter still, like as the like in that same breath as Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State, and North Carolina? Because I'm starting to question that.
I say no. They haven't been as good, obviously, as those schools in the last 10, 15 years. But all it takes is one guy. I mean, Ball, you thought Ball was there for 1 year. They were better. All it takes is a couple guys to bring it back. Because they have the name. They have the brand. They just need to get a couple players.
So a lot of people think he might choose Kentucky because he sees all those kids go pro and sign big fat deals. But same thing at Duke, right? Same thing at Kansas, right? Do any of those kids that play in North Carolina seem to be having problems with those big paychecks they're getting in the NBA? I mean, seriously. I mean, all of those schools, if you play there, and isn't, like, Villanova in that breath now, too?
They should be.
I mean, I think they are. But that's the next kid, Anthony Edwards. I can't wait to see where he ends up going. 855-212-4227. So we did talk about the Rams and Bears, certainly with Patrick Finley. Now I want to talk about another game with you, Carver High and Mafia, the Steelers and Raiders. What a rivalry. I just wanted to say I did a JT the Bricks Oakland Raider podcast today.
How was that?
It went well. We certainly talked about the Raider-Steeler rivalry over the years.
Not really a rivalry anymore.
You know, I actually, well,
I
obviously,
so.
70s, 80s, and I believe it or not, it is still rivalry because they always find a way to put those two together playing. It's just like, if you look at the schedule, it's like almost been every year. They always still play. And They've had a million. Do you know, like he told me, Roethlisberger's never beaten the Raiders in Oakland. One of the games he was injured and didn't play, and then they put in, and like Landry Jones won the game against him. So, but he's never gotten it done against the Raiders in Oakland. Although I think the Steelers beat him the last time they played, but the game I think was in Pittsburgh. So here they go again. But we really kind of focused on the 70s.
It was massive then.
70 to 70. Then 72 was the Immaculate Reception game. 73, 74, 75, 76. Again, they met in the playoffs. And I'll tell you this. Twice the Steelers played the Raiders in the playoffs and then went on to win the Super Bowl. Of their six Super Bowls, two of them were coming after Raider wins. So quite the history. And we certainly talked about the violence of the rivalry over the years. You know, they played back in a time when you could, you know, frankly, knock someone's head off, right? Smash their face in. They played blood and guts football back then, you know, pain. Blow out some guy's knees. I'll even say it, bounties, you name it. What was there? Jack Lambert, Joe Green. Think about it. Hendricks. Think about the guys, Shell, and all these greats that have played there over the years, you know, against that. Like Jack Ham, Lambert. Joe Green, L.C. Greenwood, Mel Blunt, Donnie Shell. It just goes on and on and on. Bradshaw against Stabler. It's just really Al Davis against the Chief, Art Rooney Sr. It really is. If you think about the history of the NFL, it is one of the greatest rivalries ever. It really is. You could talk about all this Cowboys-Eagles stuff you want, Cowboys-Redskins, Bears-Packers. I mean, I don't disrespect any of those rivalries. Fair enough. But you have to recognize that. And even the Steelers-Cowboys rivalries in the same window, 70s and 80s. They even played them again in the Super Bowl in the 90s and lost to Dallas. But the Steelers and Raiders, I think, is one of the greatest rivalries ever.
Look, I get where, and I'm going to say this, not in a bad way, where somebody like you and your age and grew up at that time and those games were going on, I get how you feel that way. They played five playoff games in the 70s.
Right.
Five. They've only played one since 1984. That's it. So since then, they don't meet in the playoffs. It's not what it used to be, but I get that everybody that was a part of it then, it was probably, I mean, geez, five times in the 70s meeting the playoffs, it must have been nuts.
It was huge.
When the two of them got together. So, for that fan, it still resonates all this time later.
That's why they still do it.
For the 40 and under, you know, Steeler and Raider fan,
it means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing to them. It's just another game in the schedule. Just like Steelers Cowboys doesn't mean anything to the younger.
I just think it should.
Cowboy fan. Right, but it should. It does for you. Got you and older than you. It does. It does resonate.
So, who would you say? Your rival is, like, your rivalries are for the Bills that matter.
I still believe that the biggest one is the Dolphins. It's Miami, no doubt about it. Miami and Buffalo is the biggest one for us.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I just think that, I mean, in the history, they've played a lot of playoff games against each other in the 90s. They've been in the same division forever. It's just... for whatever reason, and you ask any Bills fan, I know that they feel that way too, that Miami is the is
And
the
do they still always have two really good games every year? That first the game they played the other day was good.
Pretty much, yeah. You see, the reason why Bills-Patriots isn't much of, you know, obviously they're division rivals.
It's because they own
their
them.
Rivalries. Well, the Bills beat up on the Patriots forever, and then it flipped when Brady showed up, and then now the Patriots have beat the hell
right.
out of the Bills forever.
Right.
So there's... You know, there hasn't been a lot of time where both of them were good together.
Do you feel that, and I got a break, but think about this for a second, and we'll come back and talk about it. Do you think John Gruden is doing a good job at this stage with four games left, that you've seen improvement in the Raiders in the last few weeks, that you've actually seen them turn somewhat of a, you know, corner? They're not in the cul-de-sac the whole time now. They've actually gone out of the cul-de-sac and driven down the street and made a right-hand turn, and they're making some progress. Like, they're in games. No one saw that last week, did they? That they were, you know, with Kansas City laying 14.5 and that they lost to them by 7 or whatever, and they gave them a game. And do you think they'll give the Steelers a game on Sunday in Oakland? 855-212-4CBS to get benched.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Mafia, what did you think of that guy, Derrick Henry, tonight with that big game, over 200 yards and four touchdowns? Boy, did that guy bust out.
That's a crazy game. I mean, when you start off in the first half and you basically have over 100 yards and two touchdowns on just two carries, because he had the three-yard touchdown to start the game and then that 99-yard one after they stopped him on the fourth and goal. That's a hell of a game right there. And then to just keep going, I mean, once they start pounding the ball like that and you see the success he's having, at some point the Jags need to say, all right, watch out for this guy. We got to do something to watch, beat him, make Mariota beat us. Instead, he just kept finding holes. I mean, in the end, too, if you look at it, you see the numbers, you see the yards, you see the touchdowns. He didn't even carry the ball that much. I mean, he didn't even have, I don't think, more than 15 carries and still had four touchdowns and over 230 yards because he was just gashing them. Every time he got it, it was a big run. They just could not stop the run at all today.
Man, I can't even believe either of these teams, to be honest with you, because, like, Tennessee to me seems like they're alive. They're in it. And then this other team has fallen off the face of the earth. And they shouldn't even be allowed to talk anymore about anything. They shouldn't even be allowed to do interviews after games. They shouldn't be allowed to open their mouths.
He ended up with only 17 carries for 238 yards.
I mean, that's crazy.
What a performance.
I mean, it really...
What a performance.
Carver High's having none of it.
Maybe next time they'll tackle him. You know, maybe they'll, you know, when they put their hand on him, they won't just back off of him and let him keep running, you know. There was a point in the second half where all the Titans wanted to do was just, like, run the ball up the middle and just, you know, run the clock. Like, here you go, tackle him. And they still let him run past them. Vaunted Jaguar D. Looked like they quit tonight. I'd fire that guy tomorrow. Doug Marrone.
Do you think he'll ever coach in the NFL
when he
again?
He gets fired from his Jaguar job?
Yeah, because I think it's
not
over.
That's two strikes. He walked out on the first job. And now this job he's done is you know, it ain't look. They've quit on him this year. The whole year has been a joke.
And listen, you're talking about the Titans being alive, and they are right now. They're 7-6. They're in the seventh spot, but you know Baltimore could be 7-6 at the end of this week too. They're playing Kansas City. They're 7-5, holding that last sixth spot. So right now it's going to be a battle for six because LA, the Chargers are 9-3. They pretty much got that locked up. It's all about trying to catch that number six spot, whether it's the Ravens or if they overtake the Steelers, then it's the Steelers. One way or the other, it's the Titans, the Dolphins, and the Colts are all kind of there, and the Broncos too. But it's just an uphill battle to grab that the last spot there.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy to see what happens in these playoff spots down the stretch. And so you didn't answer my question earlier. Do you think that John Gruden is doing a good job with the Raiders over the last few weeks, that they're like at any point or another turning the corner?
No, I don't think – I haven't seen any. I get that they were in the game last week. I don't think that there's been any great improvement. I think that it's kind of been the same that it's been all year.
Really, just that's that?
That's that. I think that they played a team last week where the other team's defense wasn't great, and they put some points on the board. That's about it for me.
So
I don't think they're a good team, and I don't think he's done a good job.
You don't think he's done a good job? Mavi, what about you? Do you think he's doing anything better, like the way they played the Chiefs or anything?
They played well against the Chiefs, but I think that's a team that just took them lightly, a team that thought they were jokes and they were going to just run through them. And all of a sudden, Oakland answered a little bit. But until they put something together, until they actually win some games, until they get a couple in a row, you know, don't give me one decent performance where you don't lose badly and say, okay, he's doing a great job, he's turning things around. No, you got to get a win. Then I'll say, okay, that's a start. Get a couple, then maybe you're starting to get some momentum and turn things around. But for now, no, they suck, and he's an embarrassment so far.
An embarrassment. An utter embarrassment.
And unfortunately for him, all those first-round picks that he acquired at this point are all going to end up being at the end of the first round because the Bears are having a good year. The Cowboys now, since they gave him Amari Cooper, are having a good year. Both those picks could be in the 20s. So they're still first-round picks. I get it. But the hopes of those being a little bit better, not the case anymore.
All right, there you have it.
But at least when you have somebody like that, you could package a couple and try to move up maybe into the teens and hopefully do something like that. I mean, if they only had one or two, you're not getting much movement unless you give up like half of your remaining picks down the line for the next couple of years. If you have a couple of those, you get one or two of those together, then all of a sudden you're 10 picks up further.
So anyway, did I not see that Friday night, I think tomorrow night, did I not see at some point or another, I could have sworn I saw that that Nevada was playing Arizona State. They are playing them, and it's 7.5. Nevada's laying 7.5 to Arizona State. And that game is at Staples Center in Los Angeles. I wonder why I don't see that on the board. But I know that it's a 7.5-point spread. I don't see it anywhere. But allegedly, they're playing tomorrow night. Nevada's a pretty good team, but so is Arizona State. But I just don't know if they've really played anybody. They're 7-0, and when I look at what they've done, you look at some of the teams they've played. I mean, I guess Mississippi State is the only that's ranked is the only team I think that they've played until now when they play Nevada. I think Nevada's better than them, and I just wonder if Nevada can cover that fat number in L.A. against them. I think they are, you know, Nevada's a top five team, and if this is allegedly, you know, you're talking about a 7-0 team, but they haven't played anybody, so that's my concern, if Nevada can handle that number or if that's just going to flat out be a good game. I'd love to see Arizona State give them a game tomorrow night.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
They have an offer for you in Buffalo. Did you see this? So if you, they'll give you money and a free ticket to the game, apparently, if you are willing to go to New Era Stadium tomorrow and shovel snow. The stadium's filled with snow. The Bills need to get rid of it so they can host the Jets on Sunday. They kick off at 1, and no one wants to stand outside all day and shovel snow for free, which is why the Bills are offering incentives. And you get free food. They're not saying whether it's lunch or dinner, but nothing's better than free food. And then money, the Bills will be paying $12 an hour to anyone who shows up, which would actually it'd be a raise. Last year, they gave them $11 an hour to shovel snow. A 9% raise, Carver High. They're shoveling snow, getting a free meal, and a free ticket to the Bills game against the Jets. Not a bad deal when you think about it. $12 an hour, a ticket to the game, free meal, and, I mean, a 9% pay increase from last year. It's not a bad deal when you think about it.
Sounds pretty good to me. Wish I was up there. I'd jump on it.
Shovel some snow, get a ticket, get a sandwich.
Get loaded up at the game. Sounds perfect.
Get to go to the game and then, you know, have a few whiskeys. And then maybe, you know, tomorrow when you go shovel snow, you could show up, you know, half-baked. Just shovel. You know, maybe a little music going in your ears. Go out there, freeze ass a little, shovel some snow, and get something out of it. Some cash, get a, you know, burger maybe, and a ticket to see the Jets. And you don't have to watch Kelvin Benjamin play anymore. So the Chiefs signed Kelvin Benjamin. Carver, can you give us an update on what the Chiefs fans can expect from Kelvin?
Laziness. No effort,
no productivity,
no heart, and pretty much all that. I mean, maybe I'm sure he'll be one of these guys who, now that he's on a team that's winning,
he'll finally be happy.
He'll be all smiles and rainbows. So I'm sure he'll go to the Chiefs and he'll probably catch 2 or 3 touchdowns in the next few weeks.
Mavi, are you excited to see your boy Sam Darnold back at the helm for the Jets after their performance against the Titans where they blew the game? Now they're going back to their prized rookie against the Bills.
Well, they didn't blow the game because of the offense. Yeah, offense actually put up points in that game. They put up, probably 4 times the amount of points that the Titans put up. I mean, Jaguars put up today. If you can't take away that terrible touchdown that shouldn't have counted that they gave him anyway. The offense performed well, then they kind of fell off the map at the end of the game there, but the defense just let up points against the Titans. I think the cold game, the snow that they have up there, that's going to, you know, slow things down a bit. I think it's just going to be a old-school smash-mouth, two teams running the ball down each other's throat as much as they can game, which would be interesting. I don't think Sam Darnold's going to be doing too much. I think they're going to protect him from that cold as much as they can.
You know, they played the Bills. Didn't the Bills whack him 41-10?
Yeah, in Jersey.
Jesus. Yes, with Matt Barkley at quarterback.
So, and Matt Barkley was playing quarterback and did that. Imagine what they'll do with Josh Allen. Carver High, are you on the Bills over the Jets this weekend?
I am.
Bills get it done at home.
I sure hope so. They've played better the last few weeks, and the kid has played better. Why not continue that on? You just whacked this team at their place a few weeks ago.
So the biggest game, I guess, is the Eagles and Cowboys this week, right?
I would say that that's got a little juice to it, yeah.
So the Eagles, can they – what kind of damage? Because they lost to them 27-20, right, in the first game? If they lose to the Cowboys, are they toast as far as the NFC East goes?
The NFC East is over if the Cowboys win on Sunday.
Is it really over completely?
Over. Done.
No questions asked. Down. So do you think the Cowboys will handle their business, laying 3.5 to the Eagles? That might be a very dangerous spread.
Spread-wise, I'm 100% with the Eagles, and I think I'm going to be with them to win the game.
Oh, so you're going Eagles to win outright. Forget the 3.5. You don't need it.
I might.
Wow. What do you think of that one, Mafia? Do you think? Do you agree with that? Do you think the Cowboys have been playing great football? Haven't they won 4 in a row?
I'm on the Cowboys. They're playing at home. The way they played against the Saints, I think that they're the better team. I know Philly got it going a little bit the last couple weeks, but I still don't trust them enough. I think they've played some bad teams, and that's helped them a lot against that defense where Lawrence and those guys are going to get it after Wentz. I don't trust them nearly as much. Their running game's a mess. They're connecting a little bit in the passing game, but still, they're not stopping anybody. I think they're going to run Zeke down their throat, find Cooper every now and then, and do just enough to win at home.
So I'm watching this Rockets-Jazz game. I don't know what happened with Grayson Allen or something. Something happened. I got to see this. They're not showing the highlight of what happened there. I guess nothing really major happened, but something happened with him. I was just watching, and they were showing him, and he seemed upset about something. I don't know. It seems as though it turned into absolutely nothing. How has that guy been, do you think, in the NBA? Has he ever, like, does anybody think he's done anything since he left Duke? I wonder what he's, in terms of.
Considering,
like,
I completely forgot about him and that he was in the NBA? I don't think so.
Oh, so he's just, you think he's just, he's got 2 points in this game. I just want to look at what he's done. So he's averaging 4 points a game, 4.6.
Look at when he's in. He wasn't in the beginning of this game. He's in when they're up by 25 for the last, 40 minutes. They've been blowing him out most of this game. So now he's in there in garbage time just getting some time.
He averages, in a previous 10 games, 7 minutes a game. This game, 4 minutes. In wins, 7 minutes. In losses, 12 minutes. They put him in garbage time. And then all of his games, his last 5 games, he's got 2 points. Literally. And, I mean, the guy plays, I guess they never even put him in the last 5 games. This is the first time they've played him in 5 games. The guy, I mean, I don't know. Is he going to last in the NBA, or are they going to get rid of him? Sounds like he's not doing anything. Like, his career might be very short.
It's very early.
So it's just, he's just a rookie and it doesn't matter?
That's it. So there's not every rookie gets a lot of burn.
So you think that he's still got a future in the NBA a little bit?
I think that there's still time to see if he does.
First round pick, 21st by Utah. And they're giving him, and he's scoring 4 points a game at best.
I'm not ready to whack him 1 month into his career. I mean, I think that he, and he's playing on a good team.
Do you remember when he was at Duke and he was tripping people?
Maybe he needs to do that there to get himself back in the headlines.
Maybe
get
back into it a little, get his, slew footing going again. Anthony in Oklahoma City, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
My man, Pharrell. Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool, man.
All right. Let me get a little bit of a Corona with a chaser of Corona. How about that real quick?
Get him his line. There you go.
All right. Now, first of all, let me tell you this, man. You, Carver High and Mafia, you're not on the bench. You guys are starters. You're all stars, okay?
So, wow.
Pharrell on the bench, no, you guys are all stars, okay? So let me tell you that, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate what you do, all you guys.
Thank
okay?
you. We're no longer coming off the bench, Carver High. We're going to be starting.
That's it. That's it. You guys are all pros. You know, you guys are, blue blood, 5 stars, okay? So now what I want to say is that BB from Oklahoma, of course, we're going to lose our quarterback. He's not going to go into the pros, and what I think is I think that Hurts, all right, what he did, last week was great.
Right.
You know, I mean, he sat in there. You know, he did what he needed to do. And I think it'd be perfect for him to come to OU. I mean, it's already set up for him. He's a great quarterback. And, yes, he lost his position, but it was to, you know, a guy, one or two, that's going to win the Heisman. All right? The people that we have down here, the quarterbacks, they're not going to win the Heisman. So Hurst needs to come down here to, you know, OU and, you know, fit in. And once again, it was like a Cinderella story, but imagine this. So Hurst comes here to OU, okay? OU gets into the Final Four next year, and then who do they play? Alabama. And what does he do? He beats Alabama. I mean, that's, you know, poetic justice right there, man. But once again, dude, I definitely appreciate you guys. You know, I work, I get off at 11 o'clock at night, so I listen to you guys all the time. You make me laugh.
Thanks.
I think you're the man, all right?
And you guys, I appreciate once it.
Again, off the bench. You guys are all stars, okay? All get off the bench.
I love you. Thank you, brother. Now, listen, we established that. We are now starters. But you're saying that he graduates in December. And
he's on pace to, yeah.
So he could play at OU next year, no questions asked. He could transfer.
I believe he can transfer and play wherever he wants.
Could you see him going there?
Maybe. I don't know what their pipeline's like behind Murray, if they have anybody ready to play next year or not.
I mean, they certainly have an offense that's conducive to lighting it up.
No doubt about that.
He could go there and just absolutely go off.
Because he's not going to be back at Alabama.
For sure?
I don't believe so. I mean, Tua can't leave. He's got to stay another year. Because he doesn't have the 2 years, he doesn't have enough, you know, eligibility to leave yet. So, I can't imagine he would stay there again for another season.
So tell me this. When they go on, you know, he won the Walter Camp Award tonight, right? Tua did. And then, of course, Kyler Murray wins the AP College Football Player of the Year, beating out Tua. And the question begs, who's going to win the Heisman Trophy? It's this Saturday, right, in New York?
It is. It means absolutely nothing anymore.
It means absolutely nothing, but I'm still going to ask you this question. They say, I think the last five winners of the Walter Camp Award won the Heisman. Are you buying or selling that Tua Tagovailoa will win the Heisman, or are you on the boat that says Kyler Murray stole it the last month of the season?
Tua's probably going to win it.
I still think he is, too.
I think he's probably going to win it.
I mean, what did he do wrong? He got injured.
Right.
He got injured in the SEC championship game, right? I mean, isn't that what happened? He was not having a great game, but are you going to take the Heisman Trophy away from him because he rolled his ankle twice in the game? Didn't he roll it in the beginning of the game? And then he hurt it again later?
Yes.
Well, you can't have a good game when your ankle's rolled. You're surprised he's even out there playing.
37 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
And what did the other guy do? 37 touchdowns and 4 interceptions is what you're telling me he did? And this guy, he won the award in his final year as a college athlete. The A's took him with the 9th pick. He batted 296, 10 homers, and 13 doubles in 50 games for the Sooners in center field. Signed for $5 million with the A's agreeing to let him return to school and play football in the season.
Murray had 40 touchdowns, 7 picks, about 700 more yards thrown, and he also, his rushing numbers are a lot more.
And 11 touchdowns.
If you went by raw stats,
he has more stats.
Probably Murray.
Raw stats, he's got bigger numbers.
Yes.
He's also got bigger numbers because, what was there, probably 3, 4, maybe even 5 games where Tua didn't even play most of the second half because they were kicking people's ass so bad.
That's true.
Well, that's part of what the argument is he didn't finish a lot of games because they were dominating everybody, whereas Kyler was playing in games that were 59-56, 55-40, 48-47, 51-46, and we can go on and on and on and on and on.
So, who do you give it to, Mafia, Tua or Kyler?
I think they both had great seasons. It's very hard to pick. I mean, you go either way. I think what they'll probably do is probably give it to Tua because he was the one that was doing it the whole season. He was the one that everyone had the hype train on. All of a sudden, Kyler's going to come in the last week.
And steal it?
I don't think so. I think that they love Alabama. They love Nick Saban. They love everybody that plays for Alabama. How many, you know, times have we seen the Heisman winner come from Alabama? Usually it's the running back. But we've seen a bunch of them in the last decade.
We've seen them come from Oklahoma, too.
We have. I mean, Baker Mayfield, obviously, last year. And Adrian Peterson, you know, a long time before that. But they have come from both schools. But I think that in the run with Nick Saban has had, where they just dominated college football, if they can give it to someone from Alabama, they will.
Didn't Billy Sims get it? I think back in the day. So I can't wait to see actually who they give it to. And what's great about it is that I'll be able to not watch any of that whatsoever and find out in less than 30 seconds who won it, and then continue on with my evening not caring at all that the individual had won the award. It'll be great. I'll just be like, oh, there you go. Boom, done. Move on.
Not must-see TV for you on a Saturday night?
No. I'm just not going to be watching that. Nor did I watch the awards show tonight.
I just don't think that it matters like it used to. It used to be such a big deal, the Heisman Trophy, and I just feel like now it's whatever.
What's amazing, though, is that it you're right, is that no one cares about it anymore, to be honest with you.
Used to be the biggest thing ever.
But still, college football, to me, is bigger than ever. What's amazing is everyone is going to watch that playoff. Everyone's going to watch those two games, if you ask me. They had it on New Year's Eve before, right? And everybody said it was a disaster. Well, now they're having it on December 29th. I bet it won't be a disaster then, because nobody has anything better to do that Saturday night. Isn't it Monday night that's going to be New Year's Eve?
Yes.
What could be worse than having New Year's Eve on a Monday night? Can you imagine hanging out in Times Square on a Monday night and then, well, I guess nobody works the next day anyway, so what's the difference? But you go back to work on Wednesday, right? That sucks. I'd rather have it on a Saturday night. That'd be a party.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.